Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Where is God's Word tonight. And of course, I'm not Bruce Musselman. I'm Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Bruce Musselman tonight. And Bruce is okay. He just had some business that had to be attended to. And well, sometimes just not able to get everything done at the same times. And since Bruce has not yet mastered the art of splitting himself into two separate people to attend to both things at the same time, he asked me to fill in for him tonight. Of course, if you've been listening to the program, you know that I help Bruce out and do some things on science in the Bible and some things of that nature. So he asked me to fill in, take over the program for him tonight. And so we'll be talking about some things here. But before we do that, I just want to remind you, of course, that you can visit the website whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find some materials there. There's some information on Bruce Musselman, a little bit of his background, and also there's his article, that a little booklet that he had put together some years ago that kind of got him started on this path, called Correcting the King James Bible. And you can read that online at whereisgodsword.com. And there's some other materials available there. You can hear Bruce preaching on the history of the Bible, and also you can hear him singing, and some other odds and ends that are on there, as well as our past programs. You can listen to past programs there, and you can find all of that at whereisgodsword.com. And you can also find some links to some of the materials that he's referenced from time to time. So I encourage you to check that out. There's also a Bible and Prophecy series that's available. You can find out information about that. And of course, that's all there at whereisgodsword.com. And of course, myself, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And in addition to helping out Bruce Musselman here with the program, I also host another program on AM 1220 The Word on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and also from Sunday nights at 11 o'clock until midnight, live with Pastor Al. And we have an open format, a live program, where we welcome people's calls with questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And that's every Friday from 1:30 in the afternoon until 2, as well as every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. And so if you'd love to have you join us there as well. Well, we're going to get into a couple of things here tonight. And it's been about a month or so, a few weeks at least, back when I last filled in for Bruce Musselman with the entire program. And at the time, I had a list of 15 verses that we were going through. And these are 15 verses that are completely omitted from the New International Version of the Bible, as well as all or some of them are omitted from many of the other modern versions as well, but specifically they're missing entirely from the New International Version. And this list of 15 verses I do have online at my website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if I can, I probably should get that linked into Bruce's website, whereisgodsword.com as well. And of course, if you go there, you can click underneath my picture on our website for the radio program, Live with Pastor Al, and you can find a copy of these verses here. But like I said, I'm going to try and at some point get them linked into whereisgodsword.com so that you can look at them there. But this list of verses is interesting in that, as Bruce has pointed out from time to time on the program, there's a number of passages where whole words, phrases are missing, whole sentences are missing, sometimes whole verses are missing, or words are changed or altered, and hence the title of the program, Where is God's Word? Because when people start changing these things around and rewriting and omitting and things of that nature, then the person who's trying to figure out what Bible they should read, they can become confused. They wonder, which one should I read? Where is God's Word? And that's kind of what Bruce Musselman's theme is. And with these 15 verses, these are interesting in the sense that not only is the entire verse missing, but the number is missing. And I stress that because in some of them, they take a verse or all or part of a verse out, and they rearrange the verses around it so that you can have each numbered verse in sequence. But in this list of verses, there's a number of verses that not only is the verse gone, but the number is gone. For instance, in Matthew chapter 17, you'll be going along and you see Matthew chapter 17, verse 18, verse 19, verse 20. And then it jumps from verse 20, and then the next verse number you see is verse 22. There's no verse 21. If you're not sure or don't believe that's the case, if you got a New International Version, I challenge you, find Matthew chapter 17, verse 21 there. Likewise, Matthew chapter 18, verse 11 is completely gone. You have verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, and then it jumps to verse 12. There's no verse 11. And so the numbers are completely eliminated as well. So I wanted to kind of pick up with this a little bit. The last time that I did this, we got down through the verses in Mark, Matthew and Mark, and we were running out of time. And so I just kind of read over some of the verses real quick before the end of the program. But what I was doing the last time I looked at this, I was spending some time on each verse, looking at what was going on, where these verses are, and how it's affecting the Bible when these verses are missing. So we're going to kind of pick up. Let me just give a review here of the verses that I covered previously. And like I said, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21 is missing. And that's when, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And that's where Jesus was giving us a key bit of information, one of our most important tools when dealing with resisting the devil, and in this case, casting out a fallen spirit or an unclean spirit, and they were not having success. And he said, "There's two tools that you need here: prayer and fasting. Not just prayer, but prayer and fasting." And sometimes we need that in order to resist the devil and things and overcome the devil. And that powerful tool is just taken away when you remove Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Then we had Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost." And that's kind of why Jesus came into the world. That's taken away. It's just removed. And then Matthew chapter 23, verse 14, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." And that warning there is completely removed, Matthew 23, 14. Mark 7, verse 7, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And that warning is taken away as well. And then we had dealt with the verses in Mark chapter 9, verse 44, 46, where it says, "Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched," in both of those verses. And that, of course, is later repeated, I believe, in verse number 48. But it's employed there as part of the text and in order to help remember it and to underscore the teaching. And so that end of the sentence is just removed and it's only left on in a later verse. And again, I'm just going through these hurriedly. We discussed these in a past program. And so I want to get down to where some of the ones we haven't looked at as in as much detail. And then there was Mark 15, verse 28, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith he was numbered with the transgressors. And here we have also a statement of a fulfilled prophecy, so that we know that when Jesus was hung upon the cross, he was between two thieves, he was crucified. He was numbered among the transgressors, which is nice to know, but it's also nice to know that that's a fulfillment of Scripture. And then, of course, Luke chapter 17 is about where we're going to start picking these things up here now as we get into the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 36, the verse, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And that's kind of where we're going to jump in here. And this is dealing with some prophecy when the Lord comes to catch us out of the world. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 17, let me jump up into verse 34 there. It says, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two men shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And this talking about the catching away of believers here gives us some information that allows us to know that Jesus was teaching here. In addition to this, he was teaching the concept here of a round earth, that the earth is a sphere. And as a result of that, two men in one bed, they're sleeping. It's nighttime. In that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two men or two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Well, that would be in the early day when the women were coming together to grind grain to make meal so that they would have meal to be able to prepare food. And so this shows a nighttime earlier in the day. And then we have two men shall be in the field. This is the verse that's removed. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And this talks about people working during the duration of the day. So they're not going to be working in the field at night when others are sleeping in bed. This shows us as clearly nighttime and daytime. And the women there, of course, also in there symbolizing the time during the day when they're preparing the meal to bake bread and such. So we have removed here a verse, and somebody say, well, this isn't that passage over in Matthew chapter 24, down around verse 40, 41? Well, yes, there's some mention of that, two being in the field, one taken, the other left. But here's my question. Why does it have to be taken away here just because it was mentioned once? I mean, there's a lot of things that are mentioned one time in the scriptures and they're repeated elsewhere in the scriptures. So just because it's mentioned once gives no necessity for taking that verse away, basically for no reason at all. And if you weren't reading the book of Matthew, or you didn't catch it in the book of Matthew, you would see it here in the Gospel of Luke. And so that reinforces the idea of an instantaneous. Remember, a few years ago, there was a guy by the name false teacher by the name of Harold Camping predicted that the Lord was going to come back at exactly 6 p.m. in each time zone. As it became 6 p.m. in each time zone, people were expecting to be caught up into heaven. Well, this verse right here, in conjunction with the other verses there in Luke chapter 17, would show why it would have been ludicrous to believe that, because it wouldn't have been in each time zone. It would have been instantaneously worldwide, whether it was in the middle of the day or the middle of the night, and in which it would be at any given time. It's the middle of the day and the middle of the night somewhere on this globe that we call the planet Earth. Well, moving from there, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 23, and in Luke chapter 23, we've got another passage here where it's completely removed. And Luke chapter 23, let me drop down here to verse number 16. Pilate is presented Jesus to the to the crowd and to the priests and all, and saying that he's going to release him. And so I'm going to start here in verse number 16. And he says, I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity, he must release one of them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Well, verse number 17, which is parentheses on it, it's a parenthetical verse here. And what's in the parentheses is Luke 23, verse 17. And this is the passage that's missing from the International Version of the Bible. They just drop it out. No good reason. But this is a bit of information that really helps us understand the scripture, understand what's going on here. In Matthew, we have a similar passage, and it says that I'm trying to find here in Matthew real quick, just a moment here. I'll get you to the right spot. I apologize here. I clicked on the wrong link and went to the wrong verse in Matthew here. Here we go. Matthew chapter 27. And it says this, starting in verse 19 here, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. And so we see that he wanted to release Jesus, but it doesn't give us the explanation. Let's go a little further up here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 15. He says, and now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. Now this just says that this is something that he wanted to do, was inclined to do, as if this is just a nice thing that he was inclined to do, just kind of being magnanimous. In Mark chapter 15 and verse number 6, it says this, now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired. And again, this just sounds like he's being a nice guy, and so it's nice of him to do that. John chapter 18, verse 30 says, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you at the Passover, release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? And of course, they wanted Barabbas, but he says you had a custom. So this implies that it's just merely the custom and he's being a nice guy. But in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 17, it says, for of necessity he must release one of them at the feast. So it is something that basically he was in a situation he had to release somebody. And by custom, he would allow them to choose the person that he was releasing. And he was being magnanimous, I guess, in the fact that he allowed them to do that, to fulfill their custom. But we see that at the feast, by this time, it was in a situation that of necessity he had to release somebody. And so removing Luke chapter 23, verse 17, takes away the emphasis on the fact that this is something that he had to do, not something that he had choice in. He had to do it, and he had to release the person that they chose. Now, I read that one passage in Matthew where his wife told him to have nothing to do with him, and he sought to release Jesus, but he was unable to do it because when he gave them the opportunity and he tried to get them to release Jesus, they didn't do it. They chose Barabbas instead. And so by taking away Luke chapter 23, verse 17, we lose the strength of that, what happened there. Well, let's move on to the next one. The next one is in the Gospel of John chapter 5. Now, John records really what's a very unusual miracle that took place. And when you read John chapter 5, it says this, starting verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there was at Jerusalem, by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And then here in verse 4 it says, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been there now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Now, verse number 4 there, where it says, "For an angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had," is the whole key to understanding what's going on here. And in the New International Version, that verse is just gone. It's just removed. No good reason. They just removed it. You don't know why the water was troubled. You don't know why you had to be first in the water. There's no explanation. It's just gone. And so verse 4 is the key to that, and that key verse is removed. Well, we move from there to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we have several of them. And of course, again, time is quickly moving on, but Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37, in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's been explaining to him the scripture and expounding on in Isaiah about who Jesus is. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, it says, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And this is the verse now that's missing, verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then it says in verse 38, "And when he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Well, verse 37 answers his question. You have to believe. If you go from 36 to 38 without verse 37, it almost sounds like you can get baptized without believing and it'll do some good for you. And that's not the case. So that verse is removed. Acts chapter 15, another passage here. Acts chapter 15, verse 34. Is missing, and that is in Acts chapter 15, verse 34. The Bible says, "For as much as we have heard," oops, that's verse 24. Let me jump down here a little bit to verse 34. "Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still." And this is when they were leaving. Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also in verse 35. And so they're there preaching and teaching. And here, while they get ready to leave, Corinth, I believe it is, where they're at, I'm kind of in a hurry here at the end, but at any rate, Silas was left behind there, and that's left out for no good reason. Acts chapter 24, in verse number 7, we read the verse, "But the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him out of our hands," and that's where the Jewish leaders had come down, and they were before Felix at Caesarea to accuse Paul, and they just made this up completely in order to bias Felix against the chief captain Lysias that had rescued Paul from being pulled apart by the violence of the crowd, not violence on Lysias's part for no reason at all, but because they were ready the mob was ready to kill him. And so you read that, Acts chapter 24, verse 7 is missing. Acts chapter 28, verse 29, "And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and great reasoning among themselves." And that takes away the fact that the Jews listen. People listen when God's word is proclaimed, and it gets into the heart and they begin to think about it. And then finally, before we run out of time here today, Romans chapter 16, verse 24, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen," as Paul puts near the close of the book of Romans. And when we look at these verses, these are important verses. Some we can see the importance much, much more readily. For instance, when we see the verse for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost, Matthew 18, verse 11. And when we see some of them, that's very easy to see it, but others are a little harder to see, but they're important. All scripture is given by God and is profitable. Well, we're out of time. Join us next week. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.